we've got Sarah Mary Chadwick on the line to chat to us today. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Hi, Mick. Thank you very much for having me.
No worries. Really great you could chat to us here at 2SER. Here at 2SER, we've been playing your music for the last three albums or even more, four of them, and it's your voice is really stands out. You know, if I hear your voice coming through the radio, I know straight away, oh, Sarah Mary Chadwick's on there. it's such a unique vocal that you have going on there. Do you realize that? Like, is that something that you sort of go, oh, I think it is something that stands out? Is it something a bit different?
I'm always aware of, like, my limitations as a singer. Like, I've tried to kind of be a little bit more ambitious in what I'm singing the last maybe couple of years. And I know that I sing in my own accent.
Oh, you do? It's not many people you can say sing in a, you know, Kiwi accent.
Yeah.
You can really, really tell, you know?
It's got to the point now where I find it quite difficult. Like, my partner Steph plays in Summerflake. There's a singer in Summerflake.
Yeah.
And I'm filling in for a couple of gigs on bass for her and, like, singing her back up, having, like, it sounds weird in my accent, so I kind of have to put on a bit of an Australian accent to kind of blend in.
Oh, really?
With her. And it's super hard. I'm finding it really difficult. I don't necessarily like the sound of my own voice, but it kind of does... It does the trick for me. So yeah
no, and it's the thing I really love, because you sound like no one else that I've ever heard of, and to me that's part of your fantastic uniqueness and what sets you apart from everyone else. And then you have your amazing songwriting and performing. So I think you've got a lot going for you. And look, I don't like listening to my own voice either. So that's all right.
Yeah, I'm all right these days. I can tolerate my singing voice. These days, I just listen to it so much, but I think my speaking voice, I don't know why I have any friends, basically, if I sound like that's what I sound like.
No. You've now hit your fourth solo album, Sugar Still Melts in the Rain. Congrats, by the way. Really beautiful album.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's very sparse. It's you and a keyboard, and it's very sad. And I know that you're quite sort of known for this sort of music, and it's almost taken another step, I feel like, in that rural sparseness and open space sound. But it's beautiful in its own way. But is it sad when you're writing this stuff? Do you feel sad, or do you just feel, you know, how do you feel when you're writing the music?
Yeah, I mean, sad really, like, I guess, like, without pulling any punches, I suppose. But, like, I want to do it, and I kind of, when I manage to do something that's kind of realized, like, if it achieves what I wanted it to achieve, then yeah, realize is probably the best word for it, then I feel satisfaction from that.
Do you have to be in a certain headspace when you write?
No, I think I'm quite practiced these days at just kind of putting myself in it. When I'm writing a lot, like, I tend to do stuff I'm used to, kind of, when I sit down, just. And I mean, I don't even, like, I'm always, like, texting, and, like, it's not like I get in the zone or anything. Like, I'm usually half on my phone and half doing it. But I think maybe the main thing that I've got going for me is that I work quite quickly, so I don't really kind of edit, I don't self-edit a lot, and so that kind of means that, like, I tend to rework things a little bit more these days than I used to, but in terms of, I guess, content, like, I don't really edit that much. Like, I tend to edit kind of after, as opposed to during, if that makes sense.
Yeah, maybe after you've completed it, you can sort of look back and go, okay, now I can see clearly more which ones need to go on, which ones don't.
Yeah, like, I'd rather kind of, like, edit whole songs as opposed to kind of, like, picking apart a single song to make it work, if that makes sense.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. And the keyboard that you use, I read that it's, you know, it's a little bit unique. It's not one that most people would use. Can you tell us about it?
So it was owned by a friend of mine that passed away a couple of years ago, and his close friend, but kind of a friend of mine as well, gave it to me after our friend died, because I think that he thought that my friend would like me to have it. And it's, actually, I looked it up on the internet the other day, so it's like I think Yamaha made them in the, I think, early 80s. Actually, Steph was looking it up. And they were like meant to be a more economical Rhodes copy, I think. And yeah, no, I just started playing it for the street. I play it live a lot now, but it's super heavy to move around. But I think I've been kind of looking for something that's a little bit more portable, and also because I kind of want to, obviously, preserve this one a little bit because of its sentimental value.
Sure.
But I think everything's kind of, if you want something like that, I think they're all pretty heavy and cumbersome to move around.
But this transitions nicely into this gig that you've got on Friday, where you're going to be playing a huge pipe organ at the Melbourne Town Hall.
Well, interestingly that, I mean, I say interestingly, this could be like interesting only to me, but it's like playing that organ is way different because it was more like it's not weighted at all, so it's all on or off kind of thing. So you've kind of got to write your dynamic into what you're playing as opposed to playing dynamically, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So like if you wanted to play a quiet part, you can't just play quietly like you would on a piano. You literally have to write to certain parts of the organ or write a really sparse part.
Hmm.
Or have silence. I don't know, it was quite a little bit of a head fuck getting my head around that. But,
well, it's a huge keyboard and obviously a massive amount of pipes, but there's, you know, layers of keys. Like, I look at it and go, well, what do you play what? Like, is that, how do you know? Did you learn this at some point or did you sort of teach yourself?
The organ was crazy. Like, it was, so it's got the, again, sorry if I'm mansplaining to anyone, but there's, so the four keyboards, and then you've got your pedal board down the bottom, which is two full octaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so it's quite cool because it's got that kind of concertina wall around you.
Yeah.
And each wall is like a panel for each keyboard. And then, so you basically pull, I think it's kind of what synthesizers are based around, like that kind of, same like kind of logic, I think. But so basically on each panel, so you've got your chorus or your solo, say your solo keyboard is the top one.
Yep.
And so then you've got your wall of your instruments that you can build your sound on. So you might want like harp or tuba,
wow,
organ, or whatever. And that's, you know how there's that saying like pull out all the stops? Because basically that's if you pull out, like you build your sound, and if you pull them all out, then obviously that's kind of the loudest.
I didn't even know that's where it came from. That's awesome.
Neither did I, really, to be honest. So I think fancy organists probably shift between lots of different settings and sounds as they're playing.
Sure.
But I've just kind of built a basic one for each keyboard and for the pedals, and then you kind of write your song around that.
Amazing.
Yeah. Wow. It was really amazing. Like, I think, it definitely felt really special because I think it was built in like the late 1800s. It was worth like $70 million or something. Like, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
To be able to play it, I reckon.
That's so amazing. It's next Friday on 7:30 till 10:30, free down at Melbourne Town Hall.
But then that one also, because what that commission project was so I wrote a whole record to be played on it. So that'll be released on vinyl, I think, in Adelaide, maybe in a couple of months. I think it'll be online, I think, by the time of the concert, and then the records will be a limited run, I think between 300 and 500 records pressed between, like, in maybe a couple of months.
Amazing. Was this recorded in the hall as you performed it?
Yes, I recorded it maybe 2 weeks ago. No, but even how they mic'd it up was really interesting. So there's like the little seat on the mezzanine on the wall, and then, but there's like a portable console that is a replica of that exact, like, keyboards and pedals. And so that's in the middle of the hall. And then even how they mic'd it up was on, like, I don't know, maybe between 15 and 20, like, long mics on huge long stems in the room to, like, mic the room up. And, yeah, and so then those songs are what is going to be on the record, which will be out soon.
No, that's really exciting. And, like, we're talking about you being prolific, and then this is two records in, like, the space of about 2 months.
Yeah, a little bit broke my brain, but I might be done now. That might be it.
Have a quiet rest of 2018. Well, fantastic. Congratulations and good luck on the gig next week.
Thanks so much. Great, really appreciate that.
Great album. Really great to chat to you on 2SER, and see you up in Sydney soon.
Yeah, definitely. So I think me and Steph are up there. So Steph's playing over Summer Flake, and we're playing with Angie on the 29th of June at the Union.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so that's coming up soon.
Get on down to the Union in Newtown on the 29th. Perfect. Sarah, thank you so much for chatting to us on 2SER.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me.